Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Jeff Carter has been teaching high school English in Milwaukee public schools for nearly 30 years. Most of his students are considered at risk. It is safe to say he has strong opinions about the importance of public schools and the dynamics that exist here, including public, private, charter, and voucher schools.
Carter has written a fair amount on the subject on his blog, but his latest writing takes the form of a novel. It's called The P.S. Wars. The novel envisions a hostile takeover of a fictional Milwaukee high school by a private, for-profit charter. Carter joined me in the studio recently and explained why he chose to fictionalize this story.
I have felt that basically the people I work with, the teachers who work so hard and basically give everything to their kids, weren't getting a good voice. They weren't being heard. So what I wanted to do was actually create a venue and create a kind of a discourse where they would actually we could actually see what they're doing and actually look at their day-to-day struggles with that. I originally had started a memoir and I got done with that, and it just didn't really quite seem to be carrying the message I wanted to do, that the teachers had their voice. And that basically that this was going to address kind of the needs for public schools and why public schools are so important. So I decided to try the kind of the fiction, which turned out to be the P.S. Wars. And it may seem kind of counterintuitive to think that a novel can address the truth more directly than a nonfiction piece. But as Mark Twain said, the only difference between reality and fiction is that fiction needs to be credible. And as we know from the discourse going on today, that's very much true. So it just turned out to be the better choice for me.
Well, and you choose some really interesting characters to tell that story. And Dave, your lead character, is not exactly a Boy Scout.
No, not at all. He's actually there's quite a bit of Dave Bell in me, but he's a human being. He's got his foibles, like the rest of us. But what I really wanted to create in him was this. For all his other faults, he's like a very, very good teacher, very committed to his students, and very. Very much a good educator, and he has a lot of the qualities I wanted to bring out in terms of what a good educator should be. Committed to his students, ready to give all for the students, put his safety on the line for the students, as he does when he breaks up the fight in one of the chapters. And that's where I kind of wanted to bring it out with him.
Well, you set the P.S. Wars in a fictional Milwaukee school somewhere in the center city. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people who've either gone to school here, have taught here, or know anything about education here could probably point to a couple of schools and say, oh, it's this one, and oh, no, it's this one. Mm-hmm. Who did you hope to reach with this book? I mean, teachers are going to see themselves in this. Mm-hmm. Maybe even people who went through the public schools at some point, mm-hmm. but are not teachers now, would see themselves in this. Are you trying to reach people outside of the bubble of education?
Yes, I am. I was. I really, like I said, I wanted to give a voice and kind of a window into like what daily life inside a high school is like to people who probably haven't been there for 30 or 40 years, or people who have never set foot into a city high school, which is very much different than maybe some suburban experiences or some other experiences too. And it is a tough day-to-day struggle that a lot of the teachers, and especially a lot of the students, are going through too. I mean, they come in from environments of sometimes just incredible poverty and trauma. And some cases, homelessness. I mean, there's all sorts of adversity they bring with them into the school building. And so I wanted to kind of show what their environments, what their lives are like, and what it's really like trying to teach them in a public high school these days.
Well, and you also bring in the private charter, mm-hmm. Which in this case is pretty much a sort of an enemy. Mm-hmm. Initially, I'm not going to give away what happens at the end, but they're seen as people who are a company who is interested in profit over education, over the needs of the students, and they see a school takeover as a way to make money. Is that something that you witnessed happening in your time at FPS?
In some cases, yes. I mean, the charters, I mean, it's a whole smorgasbord of different kind of quality of them. The public charters who actually have to adhere to the same rules of the school board as public schools do very, very well. Some private charters are good, but my main gripe with them is the lack of transparency. basically a public school or a public charter has to answer to the taxpayers. They are adhering to the rules and regulations that are put forth by the school board, who are, of course, elected by us. Private charters are private corporations who are I don't want to say make up their own rules, but basically,
They're beholden to their stockholders.
There you go. And in terms of curriculum, they can decide what curriculum to teach their students. In terms of licensing, they can decide what kind of licenses their teachers need. In some cases, they'll take people without any teaching experience whatsoever. And that's kind of the safeguard I really think we need to keep for public schools, transparency and the fact that basically the schools are responsible to us, the taxpayers.
I want to go back to what you were saying about telling the teachers' stories. Do you feel that teachers, particularly here in Milwaukee, aren't having their stories told, that people don't know what they do?
I do. I think that many teachers are, first of all, I think teachers are, for some reason, this country are demonized and vilified, I think, a lot more than a lot of other professions. Teachers tend to be the scapegoat for a lot of the problems going on in the education system. I know during the Act 10 legislation, too, they were blamed for, basically sucking all the money up out of the state budget. But in truth, teachers I've seen and teachers I've worked with, for the most part, are dedicated. They're all hours of the day for their students. They're bringing in their own supplies that they pay for out of their own pocket. They're committed to their kids. They really love their kids, and they'll do anything for them. So I do think that story is not being told, and which is one of my compelling reasons for actually writing this, which is actually to let people know that there is a lot of good going on in public schools, Milwaukee public schools and public schools nationwide.
When you bring in EduNet, there are obviously characters who are very corporate and very focused. You also don't demonize them completely. There are a couple of people within that structure who are trying to do the right thing as they see it, too. Mm-hmm. And has that been your experience when you were dealing with private charters?
Well, I think people are just, complex beings. And in this case, I think, yeah, the people who are in the charters and who are working for the charters are, by their own lights trying to do the right thing for the most part. But the character I really liked in this one, Sandra Feely, who is one of the people who works for EduNet, turns out has a brother who was raised in public schools or who has taught through public schools and who has Down syndrome. And she starts to realize that that basically if it had not been for public schools, he would not have been able to get the education he's gotten. Because in many cases, charter schools, private charters, in this case, EduNet 2 specifically, rather underserves a lot of the students with special ed needs.
They're not required to, right?
No. If they're running their own requirements, many of them do not. Many of them do, but they're underserved. It's not as many as a big population that are served by public schools because it is a big budget drain.
Well, and public schools, the whole idea is that it's the public.
Right.
Whoever the public is made up of, you have a right to an education. That's the basic premise.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you think we have such a contentious attitude towards public schools?
Well, I think for the urban schools, I think, and this goes into the entire, I think, the Wisconsin political mindset that I think Milwaukee in general is kind of vilified by politicians statewide, and we're often, I think, depicted as a money pit, where all the money goes, and that public schools here are just kind of like this black hole where a lot of our funding goes to. I'm not sure why we are so vilified, but I know the Act 10 had a lot to do with it, too. When that legislation was brought in 2011, and they were threatening to take away teachers' rights, the whole rhetoric that came along with that package was basically aimed at teachers saying, they're sucking all the money off, off our budget. They're overpriced. They don't work as hard. They only work 9 months a year. And there was all that attached to it, I think, too. So, and generally, I think teachers are, as I said before, typically have been scapegoats for a lot that's wrong with the educational system. People tend to look at surface problems, and if they don't really dig deep, and to me at least, I think one of the root causes to our problems in our urban education system is poverty. And until that is addressed and addressed seriously, I don't think a lot's going to happen. This could be different.
Now that the book is out, what has been the reaction that you've gotten from people who have read it? I know you've done some readings around town, mm-hmm. and you'll probably continue to do so. How are people responding to it?
Teachers I work with and teachers I've known, actually, I've had a couple come up and thank me and say, thanks for, giving us a voice. Generally, people have liked it. I've had pretty positive feedback so far.
Any pushback?
Not really not at this point, though, too. But I do think I do land on one side of the public-private issue, but I don't think I'm very – I don't think it's, like, really strident, you know, in terms of that. I try to be fair, and I think people recognize that, too. And also the fact that I think that it's character-driven is very much of a struggles the characters are going through in terms of, like, the public-private argument and the sensibilities and, like, you know, what they're realizing, what they're doing, and what they're doing to the community, the school. I think people get wrapped up in the characters, and the issue sometimes becomes secondary.
Yeah, I felt that when I was reading the book, I found that I was kind of caught up in what was going to happen to these people. Mm. And I found myself, you know, turning the page, and again, not giving anything away. There were a couple of twists that you pulled towards the end that I thought, no!
Yeah,
and I'm not going to give away what that reaction was about, but there were some things where I thought, wow, and I also have to say that I think you ended, again, without giving anything away, I think you ended the book on a more positive than negative note. Is that? Do you think that's fair?
I think that's true. And my publisher's sister actually wrote a little note to me, and she said at the end that it was like, she says, yeah, I can kind of see more of a kind of a, not a compromise, but a new kind of like a new order coming up, as it were. So, yeah, I won't give anything else away either. So,
right. Yeah. But there's this sense that, well, things will go on. It's just, it's again like life, not all bad, not all good. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be some adjustments. Do you feel that you have any more of any of these character stories to tell in another book?
I've toyed with the idea of a sequel. I'm working on something else right now, but I think I will come back to this as a the continuation of Custer High School was going on with that. So.
Yeah, there's a couple of characters. For example, Ethel Benjamin, who's been teaching for 40 years mm-hmm. and is someone that all the other teachers look up to yeah. and who has this like backbone of steel and is just such an interesting person.
Yeah, she's I loved writing her, actually. She kind of grew into a character I really liked, and the fact that, you know, she swears like a sailor when she's not around kids, and that she's tough as a bar of iron. And
has a huge heart.
And, yeah, and is a really, really nice person. Yeah, it's like, she was a lot of fun.
For you, when you sit down to write, particularly a fiction, do the characters come first, or are you kind of thinking about a scenario and the characters come into it?
It's kind of simultaneous at the beginning, because I think you'll have characters, and then I always try to have a destination in mind for the end of the novel. And in this one, and actually the piece I'm working on right now too, I kind of like to have a kind of a converging narrative, almost two narratives. Like in this case, we had the EduNet person, Mitchell Page, and Dave Bell, and their narratives kind of converged. And there were others along the way there too. But this conflict kind of, you know, reaches a climax. That's kind of like what I was aiming at then too. But the characters are paramount, I think, pretty much, too.
Do they talk to you while you're in the process of writing? Do you hear them in your head?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. So,
those are the only voices I hear in my head, though.
Well, it's okay. It's all right. Every writer I've ever talked to has always said something like, yeah, you know, they're telling me mm-hmm. things. And characters, I think, have their own minds. Once they mm-hmm. burst forth from your imagination, they sort of have their own ideas of what they're going to do.
Well, it's funny because, yeah, once you kind of give them like kind of these, you know, their characteristics or traits, and they kind of have to adhere to those traits to be, you know, to be logical. Like with Ethel, for instance, I mean, she has to behave a certain way after a point when you've given her so many, you know, characteristics, though, too. But they will surprise you, though, every now and then.
Every now and then, yeah. Which is, of course, keeps it interesting for you as well. Do you miss teaching?
Well, actually, I'm still working part-time doing a little bit of I was called in, and I always joke, I'm like Michael Corleone in The Godfather. I keep trying to get out, they keep pulling me back in.
Milwaukee writer Jeff Carter's new novel is called The P.S. Wars. You can read more about it at WUWM.com.